Let's read John 8:31 through 38, and then we'll pray. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide," or continue, "in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And I said verse 38, I meant verse 36. So stop at verse 36. Let's pray. Father, as best I know how, I put my hand in your hand and I put my heart in your hand for your help to preach your word this morning. Father, this is a good word for this nation to hear. A good word from you about true freedom. I pray that far beyond any mere man that preaches it, this message from your word will ring through this nation. I pray for you to show the world, to show this nation, to show every citizen that claims to be an American citizen and claims to be free, what freedom truly is. May we see it. May we have eyes to see and ears to hear. May we have your grace and may we have your truth in full measure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How should we Christians of America think and speak about freedom? Should being American primarily affect how we understand and define freedom, or should being Christian primarily affect how we understand and define freedom? To whatever extent the founding fathers of this nation were Christian, they certainly believed that freedom is a gift of God, as they stated in their own words in the Declaration of Independence. And I quote them, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." 240 years later, after they wrote those words, we should look across the troubled landscape of this nation and ask, is this what they envisioned? We should look beyond them and we should ask our Creator, if you gave us life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, is this what you intended that we do with them? Among us American citizens, there is a sharp divide over how to apply the independence our founding fathers declared for us almost 2.5 centuries ago. There is a sharp disagreement, which has led to the sharp divide over what freedom should mean for us internationally, politically, financially, morally, and spiritually. In every sphere of life in this nation, there is a sharp disagreement over what freedom means for this nation, for people who live in this nation, for people who are fighting to come to this nation, legally and illegally. We are known around the world as the land of the free. But not everybody in this land agrees at all on what it means to be free. As the disagreement rages on, we Christians must stay centered on the author and perfecter of our faith. We must look to him to settle this issue for us. Now, for us as Christians, that should be common sense. But we see that even in the church, the visible church, among those who claim to be Christians, there is disagreement over what freedom should mean. We must ask him, Lord, what does it mean to be free? As you define it, what does it mean? We turn to this passage for him to answer that question. And we have 4 points to look at. The true disciples, the truth that sets us free, the truth of enslavement to sin, and the true freedom in the Son. Those are the 4 points that we will see in this passage as we step through this message. First, the true disciples. Look at what Jesus says again in verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide or continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. Discipleship precedes and is preeminent over citizenship. If we are Christians, we are disciples of Jesus before we are citizens of America. That's very important to understand, to keep that perspective. Our discipleship of Jesus takes precedence over our citizenship in this nation. However, taking the title doesn't make it true. Talking to people who professed to believe in him, don't let that escape you. Verse 31 says, he said this to Jews who had believed in him. They made a profession of faith. He had been teaching about himself primarily as the light of the world. He had talked to them about who he was on the authority of the Father. He had just gotten through telling them a couple of verses earlier that he did nothing on his own authority. He only spoke as the Father taught him. And he taught that the Father was with him, and that he always did the things that were pleasing to the Father. And verse 30 says, as he was saying these things, many believed in him. So upon their profession of belief, he turns to them and he says to those making that profession, here is a test of discipleship. And the test is simple and clear to determine who are truly his disciples. If you continue or abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. Now, what does that mean? That means to be in his word, never to get out of his word. That means his word is not a footnote, a side note, or an afterthought in your life, because his word defines your life. You are in his word to obey his word and following him with all your heart. After all, what does a disciple mean? It means one that follows Jesus. One that follows in his footsteps to do his will as he does it first. To be a student of the master teacher. That is what it means to be a disciple. It means nothing else. And so for him to say, if you continue or abide in my word, is for him to say, if you abide in my word, to obey my word in following me, then you're truly my disciple. Can't be any other way. His word is a lamp at your feet and a light on your path, to refer to Psalm 119:105. His word cuts the path your feet are following. His word cuts the banks in which the stream of your life is flowing. You are not just looking at His Word, but you're living in His Word. You are not offended by His Word, but you embrace His Word. You embrace the Bible as the embodiment of His Word. You want to know what He has to say about everything so that you can do what He says in everything. Now, let me ask you, do you think Jesus meant anything less than that? Is there any lesser degree of the Bible, the Word of Jesus, the Word of God, because He said, I don't speak anything except what God the Father has first spoken to me? Do you think there is any lesser degree of the Word of God through the Word of Jesus absolutely, completely, totally defining your life that He could have meant? And I am amazed. I have been in the church 20 years, not raised in it, saved into it. I have been amazed over my 2 decades in the church at how people want to parse the Bible. People who claim to be Christians. I'll take that part, but I don't want that part. You can talk to me about this, but don't talk to me about that. Now, I ask you, how many of them then in the American church do you think Jesus disqualifies for being His disciples? How many of them fail this simple and clear test? If you abide in My Word, then you're truly My disciples. I hope that does not disqualify you. Now, according to Jesus, abiding in His Word not only determines His true disciples, but also delineates the truth that sets us free. Look at verse 32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's a continuing train of thought there from verse 31 into 32. If you abide or continue in My Word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In Jesus' words, we can know the only truth that will set us free. The only truth. The truth. Not a truth. The truth. Not a truth to be had and believed among other truths. The truth. And the only truth. Anything else is a lie that will keep us in bondage. That's the simple conclusion. It's a simple contrast He sets up, stands straight up on its edge. If you abide in My Word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In contrast to what? Knowing and believing a lie that will keep you enslaved. That's the contrast. To be free, we must know the truth of His Word, not merely in observation, but in experience. Not merely in sight, but in our souls. You know, to see a mountain from a distance is one thing. To climb the mountain is quite another. I had the privilege of going to see the Rocky Mountains when I was 13 years old. And I remember to this day driving and watching them grow on the horizon. It was just an incredible sight. The closer you got, the larger they loomed. And to see the Rocky Mountains for the first time, and the only time, I've never been back, it was an incredible experience for me. But to see the world from the Rocky Mountains was an awe-inspiring and exhilarating experience that eclipsed seeing them from afar. To be up on them and to be raised up on them over the rest of the world, to be able to look down on the world from their great heights was awe-inspiring and exhilarating. I remember the experience like it was yesterday. It made such an impression on me. Guys, that's what needs to happen for us on the mountain of truth in Jesus' word. We need to be raised above the depths, the pits of the world on its heights. That brings us to the truth of enslavement to sin. What is true if the truth does not set us free? Verses 33 through 34. They, the Jews who had believed in him, answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Very simply, to them, those Jews, lineage equaled liberty. Now, I'm not going to elaborate greatly on what was going on here because I've already hit on it in preaching through Luke. They believed that to be in the lineage of Abraham affected their standing with God. So that lineage equaled their liberty. Being born in the line of Abraham meant that they were born free. They really believed that. It didn't matter to them that at this very moment they were under the rule of Rome. That wasn't affecting their understanding of what was going on here. Because they just simply believed, hey, just because we are born of Abraham, we were born free. They didn't need the truth to set them free. Now, many Americans today think a similar way. I was born in America. Why are you telling me I need to be set free? That's the way many people think in this nation today. I promise you, people right around here who think that way. I'm an American. I'm not anybody's slave. I was born here. I was raised here. I can go out and do anything I want to. How can you tell me I need to be set free? What kind of bondage are you talking about? Because if you're telling me I need to be set free, you must be telling me I'm in some kind of bondage. How can you tell me I'm in any kind of bondage? I'm an American. Guys, they have the same problem those Jews had. They don't understand what truly enslaves them. Those Jews didn't understand it. And I would dare say the majority of Americans today don't understand it. We first need to be set free, not from another race or from another nation, but from sin. From the guilt, the condemnation, and coming destruction on everything outside of Jesus' word against God's will. Sin. And we all need it. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Apart from Jesus Christ, we all stand condemned before God, period. You take away the gospel, you take away the grace and truth of God, and we're all going to hell. Nobody's getting out. So this is a universal message of enslavement. If you commit sin, you are a slave to sin. Everyone has committed sin. So apart from the freeing truth of Jesus' word, all are enslaved to sin. We were all born with a sinful nature. And the moment we willfully acted on that nature, the moment we could understand right from wrong, And we chose wrong. The chains of sin were shackled onto us, and there is only one who can break them off of us. And that's what Jesus is driving these people to understand. So that brings us to the true freedom in the Son. Verses 35 and 36. Jesus goes on, the slave does not remain in the house forever, the Son remains forever. So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. It's a simple principle. We don't understand it so much. We don't relate to it in our day because we don't have the system established in our day. There was a time in this nation this would have come across very powerfully. But slavery has been abolished here. We don't have slavery embedded in our system anymore. But they did. So they would have understood the simple principle. The slave in the house has no right to call the house home. Who has the right to call the house home? Only the Son. Only the one born and raised in the house has the right to call that house home. So he goes from that to this. So think of this. If the Son, if the greatest Son of all sons, the Son of God, sets you free in the house of God's creation and kingdom, then you truly and ultimately are free indeed. You know why? Because there's no higher authority to challenge your freedom. What is he setting us free from? Very specifically, Paul says he sets us free from the power of sin and death. That's what he sets us free from. Now, you think about this. If the Son of God brings us into the house of God and the kingdom of God and sets us free from the power of sin and death, then what other power can possibly enslave us again? What other power in existence can possibly challenge our freedom? What other power in existence can possibly bring us into bondage? None. None. And that's why he says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Ultimately, truly, fully, finally, with no one having the power to reverse it. Now, when it comes down to why people will receive or reject this message, it comes down to this. Here is where the rub is every time. People want freedom from the moral restraint of the will of God. Paul makes that clear in Romans 1. People everywhere around the world understand there's a God. They can see his power, they can see his divine nature revealed in nature itself. And then you add to that the revealed word of God. People everywhere are absolutely 100% without excuse. Why do they continue in their unbelief? It's willful unbelief. It's rebellious unbelief because they want to feel the freedom of living whatever life they choose to live on their own terms. But here's what they don't understand. Here's what Jesus was getting across to these Jews. You can be free from God for a moment, or you can be freed by God forever. You need to make your choice. That's the choice that this nation faces today. That's the choice that the Supreme Court justices face today. That's the choice that the White House faces today. That's the choice that those in Congress face today. And that's the choice that everybody on the streets of this neighborhood faces today. You can be free from God for a moment, or you can be freed by God forever. But here's what you have to understand. If you choose your freedom from God for this moment, you will die and perish and be destroyed in your enslavement to your sin. So what good did your freedom do you? We need to look at what Jesus says here, and we need to turn to this nation, and we need to ask it, America, land of the free, home of the brave, are you free indeed? You know, tomorrow is the 240th, what we call, birthday of this nation. And millions of people around this nation, and even some in other parts of the world, will be celebrating the holiday that we know as the 4th of July. But we as Christians need to understand this. While we will be celebrating the same holiday, we are not all celebrating the same freedom. This nation is no longer the United States of America. Not in the truest sense. It is on paper. It is in principle, but at its core, no longer. Because what millions and millions of people in this nation are wanting and celebrating is not true freedom. Not the way the giver of freedom defines it. We need to understand what we have seen here in who are true disciples. The truth that sets us free, the truth of enslavement to sin, the true freedom in the Son. We need to grab onto this in looking at Jesus, and we need to understand this freedom that he talks about, and we need to declare this freedom. We need to declare this independence over and above any other. Even if they wave the Declaration of Independence itself in our faces, we need to put the Bible in front of them and say to them, I believe that document, but I believe this Bible first. Let me explain to you what freedom, what independence really is. And we need to understand that as the citizen goes, so goes this nation. If you read on in the Declaration, the Founding Fathers talked about the protection of those rights being the responsibility of the government instituted among men, governing at the consent of the governed. Abraham Lincoln went on to interpret that in his Gettysburg Address this way. We are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. In this nation, as goes the citizen, so goes the nation. I happen to believe that with that privilege comes a great responsibility to take what we see in the scriptures, to take what we see from Jesus, and not just take the principle, but put it into practice. It doesn't just need to be spiritual principle, it needs to be practical policy. And it troubles me to see so many Christians wanting to look at everything that's going on out there with cynicism in their hearts and withdraw from it and say, I'm just going to think about heaven, and I'm just going to live by the Bible, and I will let the world and America go to hell if that's what it wants to do. That is not the way we need to look at this. We need to understand that in this nation, we have been given a privilege to affect the future of this nation, and we need to affect the future of this nation by telling it the truth. We need to be involved. We need to take what Jesus gives to us in freedom from the power of sin and death, and we need to push that into public policy. And I don't just mean in the political arena, I mean in every arena. When I say public, I mean public in the fullest sense of the word. In the fire stations, in the police stations, in the hospitals, in the schools. Freedom from the power of sin and death should be what we are pushing for in every area of life in this country. I ask you today, are you free indeed? Has the Son set you free? Are you truly His disciple? Abide in His Word. Live by His Word. And witness His Word. And if you do that, then you truly are. Let's pray. Father, I believe that this nation exists because you decided it to exist. I believe that we have these United States of America because in your providence, you granted that we would be. Today, we are here because you have decided that we would be here. And I thank you for the freedom that we enjoy today. I thank you for the freedom I have to preach this message today, to go into the rest of my day and be with my family and enjoy the festivities we look forward to this evening and tomorrow. But Father, I understand the freedom to come and go as we please, to do and say as we please. That's not the epitome of freedom. Freedom. True freedom. Is found in what your Son did for us on the cross. And in rising from the dead. To save us from the power of sin and death. If this nation is going to be one nation under God, it must be filled with people who believe that truth, who have been set free by that truth. I pray we will be, now and until Jesus returns, ever for your glory and your honor. In His name we pray. Amen.